Merry Christmas. Welcome. We're grateful that you're here with us. No doubt you know this song. Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Have you ever seen a holly bush before? Holly bushes are important for Christians this time of year. They were always plants that people believed held. Well, look at this. There's always one, isn't there? Redheaded rascal. They've always believed to hold magical properties, and the ancient world, Druidic peoples would put them in front of their doors in wintertime to ward off evil spirits. Christians took this and began to interpret some of the symbolism with Christian meaning. Does anybody know what some of the Christian symbols of the holly bush are? Anybody know them? The berries are red, just like the blood of Christ. The thorns, they're very pokey bushes. Last winter was walking in the woods and everything was grayed out and whited out in the snow, and there was this beautiful, gorgeous green bush. And I thought, oh, a holly bush. And it poked me very hard. They are very pokey. It's a strange symbol in some ways because the berries are poisonous. The plant is pokey. And even though it's beautiful in many ways, it's just another evergreen. And yet Christians have attached all of this beautiful meaning to it. And specifically the thorns of the holly bush are something we want to focus tonight on. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, it says this: "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food all the days of your life. And the earth will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Beginning at the very start of human existence, thorns represent sin, represent pain, sorrow, and death. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verses 6 through 7, say this: "Evil men are to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered in the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie." Thorns represent our sin condition. They represent our brokenness, our ability to harm one another, our ability to draw blood from our brothers and sisters. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 20 says, "There is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins." We know in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, Apostle Paul reiterates this point by saying, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This sinful condition that has marked every single living human being since the dawn of Adam is represented time and time again as thorns. The book of Micah, chapter 7, verses 3 through 4 say, "Both of our hands are skilled at doing evil. Rulers demand gifts, judges accept bribes, and the powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of us is like a briar. The most upright of us is worse than a thorn hedge." The Apostle Paul talked about having a thorn in his flesh, this idea that there was this condition, this brokenness, this rebellion that remained latent in him even after he desired to follow the will of Christ. There are two reasons for Christmas. The first comes in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. That's harsh. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The thorny, sinful, rebellious condition that every single one of us have embodied and carried, Jesus came to defeat. Jesus came to make you no longer sin. That's the first reason of Christmas. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And earlier in the book of 1 John, it gives us the second reason. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. My dear children, I write this so that you will not sin. That's the point of our allegiance to Christ, that we would no longer bear these thorns that draw blood from our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, and our friends. But if anybody does sin, if you don't have it down yet, if you're not quite living perfectly yet, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We celebrate the coming of the Christ child tonight. And with the birth of Jesus, the world has experienced the greatest reversal in all of human history. In the book of Genesis in chapter 2, a woman is pulled out of a man. And yet, in the Gospels, with the birth of Christ, we see the second Adam comes out of a woman. At Christmas, the defender of the weak becomes weak and defenseless. At Christmas, the one who covers our shame becomes naked and exposed. At Christmas, the God who cares for all becomes helpless and in need of care. At Christmas, the deity who holds all things together needs to be held. At Christmas, the King above all kings comes to live a life of poverty, obscurity, and humility. And when he does finally receive a crown, it's one of mockery and shame. And he is given a crown of what else could it be? Thorns. Book of 2 Corinthians says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took on our sin condition. He allowed the thorns to pierce his brow and to cause him to bleed so that we might live without sin forever. The book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 13 says, my word goes out from my mouth and doesn't return to me empty, but accomplishes the purpose that I sent it forth. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Deck the halls with boughs of fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be
jolly.
What is the source of our joy in this season? The source of our joy is that God has come. He has become sin so that we could become God's righteousness. So we sing, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. May the love and light of Christ cover your thorny thicket of a life this season. May the light and love of Christ reveal in you a righteousness that is not your own. And despite the thicket and the thorny briars that we find ourselves in, may you know that the God of the universe came to take those away so that you may flourish until the ends of the earth. Tonight, we're going to end our Christmas Eve service by singing Silent Night and having a candlelight service. So I'm going to be taking the light from the Christ candle as we sing, and I will pass it through the congregation. This one light, this one point of light that came to earth from heaven, the Christ, is now passed for all of us to share and to receive. Receive this benediction this evening. Even amidst the darkness and the difficulty, even in the midst of the brambles and the pain, we pray that this night you would receive the light and love of God who came to save and to free and to heal a weary world of its sin. We bless you in the name of Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. You may blow out your candles. We love you all dearly. We wish you a very Merry Christmas. Go in peace, church. We love you.